We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Roto Grinders NBA Morning Grind. We made it to the last podcast of the regular season. Thanks for enjoying the ride with us. It's been fun, a lot of ups, a lot of downs, and a lot of fun for sure. I'm your host, Justin Carlucci, here with two very special guests on Friday's Morning Grind to wrap up the work week. I got the Chief Will Priester as usual. What's going on, buddy? How are you?
Nothing much, man. Good. Three-man booth for the Bubble Brothers podcast. Can't wait for this one. Closing out the NBA season in style with one of the hottest players on the market right now.
Yeah, we got Drizzy. We got Dre. What's going on? You were on the pod last week and you told me you took some time off, that you had the previous month was a little slow, but you refocused, you locked in your process, and you are crushing it right now. Tell me about the last couple of weeks. I saw you played the Mega Q on DK and got one of your seats. So congratulations, man. Keep grinding. And, you know, what's the ride been like the last couple of weeks?
I don't want to sound a little cocky, but it's been kind of normal. Back to normal, I guess you can say, from like the past year. You know, once you start to get in a habit of playing well, you expect that. You expect excellence. And that's what I expect always from myself, is to perform better, perform well and do well. So that break helped out a lot before going back to my regular day job. So got my mind a little bit clear, got everything right, and just said, you know, let's dive back in. Set my goals for myself and just had to recalibrate them to get back on track. So right now, only 10 grand away from my goal for the month. And then hopefully going to continue that and maybe make more next weekend. And my first ever DK Live Final, which I've been trying to get to for 3 years now. So I'm glad I finally got one.
Congrats. We'll be pulling for you. We know you'll be repping Roto Grinders extremely well. And, you know, awesome month. Continue the success. Trust that process. Keep grinding. And we got an interesting slate on Friday. So we had a call in the three brothers here, the three Bubble Brothers, bring in the full cast here, because we were looking at this injury report before we hopped on here, and we're going to do our best to give you our input a day ahead of time with a lot of things still up in the air. Some more things in the playoff picture got solidified. We can talk about them as we get to those specific games, but there's still some seeding implications over the weekend and some things that could change. Now, we have a couple of seven. Wow, we have one 7 o'clock game. I thought that was not right. So we're kicking off an 8-game with only one 7 o'clock game Eastern time on Friday. And then there's an hour gap between, you know, three more games at 8 o'clock. So that's interesting. But the first game has arguably the player with the highest upside on any slate, you know, Russell Westbrook. The Wizards are going up against Cleveland. Washington is at home, and they are currently in that play-in tournament 10 seed over there. And technically, the Bulls are not eliminated. The Bulls are the only team that have a chance to get in the play-in. Basically, what it looks like is the Wizards would have to lose out and the Bulls would have to win out. So still meaningful basketball for the Wizards. Chief, what are you seeing in this game here?
Well, I mean, I faded Westbrook on the last slate, and it semi-worked out, but it didn't work out. If you played Westbrook and Peyton Pritchard, I mean, that's how you got there on FanDuel. Westbrook against Cleveland, man. Like, Cleveland's not good. I mean, Westbrook is now 12-5. I think he was 12-6 on the last slate. He's still in play. I mean, he put up 67. I mean, he could have easily still got to 70. So I like Westbrook here. He's probably about the only guy I want to play from Washington, though, in terms of, you know, kind of the single entry format. In my head, I thought Rui Hachimura was going to be playing about 35 to 38 minutes a game, and that's just not happening. So I'm very disinterested. One guy that did stand out to me, you know, with this team, and this is kind of just a an observation, Alex Lynn. Is he going to play 25 minutes in this game, 20 minutes? Like, he's got some upside. So I think, you know, if you were considering getting, you know, multiple pieces from this game, I do think he would be on my list. I know on FanDuel, where it's just a one center site, it's not going to feel good. And especially because he's 5K, but I do think there's some validity in getting him in, especially if you're multi-entering.
Yeah, Boogie, you got some Cavs in an obvious pace-up spot here, but seems like a lot of decisions will hinge on whether or not Darius Garland plays, whether or not Chetty Osman plays. You know, it's hard to speculate 24 hours ahead of time, but Kevin Love coming off the monster game as well, a guy who, you know, some people might say, well, he's old, he's a vet, why play him? But me and Chief talk pretty religiously about, you know, he's trying to showcase himself for the future here, so why not try to go out with a bang? But a lot of plays here probably, for me anyway, hinge on who's going to actually play for Cleveland. So I'm just looking at DK here. Colin Sexton, 8,300. If Darius Garland plays, do you like Sexton? Or, you know, would you need some other guys to be out here to be interested in some of these Cavaliers?
To me, Sexton's really a player that you can play regardless, in my opinion. But honestly, when I said I probably might not get to him depending on the other games. I probably would, thinking about it now. A little bit diving in deeper, because the Cleveland Cavaliers seem like they play hard, and Sexton's not going to go out like that, in my opinion. I think he likes to try to get the W and play the upset card. So I wouldn't be surprised if Cleveland tries to play all their guys and, you know, try to get the W just to keep the Washington Wizards on edge and maybe give Chicago a chance to possibly, you know, sneak in there if they can. But definitely I will look at only Sexton probably on that team for sure. Maybe Kevin Love in tournaments. His price I know on FanDuel is 6.5. What is his DK price?
61 on DK for Kevin Love.
60. So only one of $200 after a monster game, and there's no one in the front court that could really stop him. He's a pure GPP play. I would play him in some lineups because he has the upside. Jared Allen as well. Those are guys, you know, that they can get double doubles. We get the double double bonus on DK. They're definitely more of a better play over there than FanDuel, but still both playable on both sides. But the injuries on it's going to really tell a lot from what Garland does or not, because if he's out, you got a load up on him for sure, and Seti as well.
Yeah, and hypothetically, if Garland and Chetty Osman are out, Kevin Love gets a 3.5% usage bump, and he over about 100 plus minutes, he scores 1.35 DK points per minute over the last month without Osman and Garland. So 1.35 per minute, 100 plus minutes is a pretty good sample size. Just comes down to how many minutes he's going to play. Well, you know what? Even if he plays 25 minutes, if Osman and Garland are out, you know, he has a chance to hit value putting up that kind of point per minute production against a team like the Wizards. So I'm with you. It's a pure GPP play, but I like him a hell of a lot more if either Garland or Osman are out. And if both of them are out, probably going to be overweight on Kevin Love. So any final thoughts on this one before we move on? Chief, Dre, anything else here?
Probably locking Westbrook for that's about it. So yeah, and it's early.
DK probably finally caught up. 12-8 on DK. So what do we got on FanDuel on Russ Price?
12-5. Okay. But there's going to be so much value tomorrow or today that you're going to be able to fit them in. That's why, to me, like I don't know, we haven't even got to other games yet, but he's like the only guy I can say he's a lock for sure. Like, Chief, those are like using locks often, but if I play basketball tomorrow, which I probably will, Russell Westbrook is probably going to be my only lock of the day because I know what he's going to give me and I know what he has on the line compared to everyone else in this on the slate.
Yeah, definitely.
Wait until we get to this crazy value coming up here.
Well, lead us into
your mind's going to be blown.
Lead us into the Detroit game, Chief. Go ahead, and then you can swing at the boogie, and I'll go last here.
Look, Denver-Detroit, in terms of injuries, everybody on Detroit is out pretty much. Like, Isaiah Stewart is even out. Dennis Smith Jr., Mason Plumlee, Magruder, Corey Joseph, Frank Jackson, Jeremy Grant, and Wayne Ellington, and Hamadou Diallo is questionable. Ladies and gentlemen, on the Denver side, my speculation is that Jokic might sit this game. Reason being, they sat Michael Porter Jr. today because of rest, and they played Jokic. I think Michael Porter Jr. may play and Jokic may sit. So that's kind of my read on it. Monty Morris didn't play today. So we'll see how it goes. That's my speculation early. What if I told you that in 2021, we're probably going to be able to play Jahlil Okafor in this spot?
Stealing my thunder.
If not, Tyler Cook is sitting right there as well at 3,300. I do think Jahlil Okafor is in play on this slate as a very, very, very affordable center on both sides. He's 3,600 on FanDuel, and he is 3,200 on DK. Jahlil Okafor might push 50% on DK if he's going to get the start. Like, he might push 60% because he's got upside for 30 plus. Like, legit upside for 30 plus. Saban Lee, like, he's just in play. Like, I know Josh Jackson is there, but this is how I felt when all those guards started getting ruled out. I just hopped on the Saban Lee train. 28 and 39 the past two games. A spot here with Denver that's still going to be a little bit shorthanded. That's where I'm at with Detroit, man. Dre, over to you, bro.
If I have a question for you, Chief. If Jokic is out, what do you think about Bolo Bolo on the other side? Like, because I understand, like, I know that, you know, Denver's pretty much, I think, got everything wrapped up at this point. They're going to be the number what? They're going to be the number four seed probably and not move from there at all because they're not catching the Clippers unless they probably win. Well, Bolo Bolo could go – he can go off in this spot too, I think, on the opposite side. I just don't know how many minutes he's going to get. That's the only thing I'm worried about.
Because JaVale McGee is in the same boat. That's the problem. Like,
but remember, JaVale McGee has asthma, so he doesn't play that many minutes to begin with. Oh, that's a true story.
I like it. I mean, I like the bowl play. He played I need to see how many minutes he played tonight. Because JaVale McGee started tonight with Jokic, which was crazy. I had no clue they were going to try to pull something like that. But Mike Malone, with his infinite experimentation, gets us again. I like the bowl bowl call, especially if Jokic is out. Like, are they going to sit Aaron Gordon and Paul Millsap too? Like, at some point, they're going to sit these guys.
They have to.
I'm following you. I like it.
Yeah, I think that that's something we have to consider and look at. I would pay attention to the news, and if we could get a lineup, it's at 8 o'clock, so I'm pretty sure we're not going to really have any – our lines are probably not going to be front-loaded on the slate. They'll probably be back-loaded towards the night, end of the night. So that's something I would pay attention to and maybe make some adjustments as you get news on it. But from the Detroit side, Saban Lee is someone I'm going to definitely have in my lineup tomorrow. Josh Jackson, I love. As long as he's going to get the start and get the minutes, which hopefully he does, he should be able to go off in this spot for sure. Killian Hayes is someone I know he's come up a little bit in price, but he's a future, so I don't see why the coach wouldn't run him to the ground. And so is Sadiq Bey. So we know these Detroit guys got to play. So those are the other two pieces I would be looking at for the team. On Denver side, like I said, besides Bolo Bolo. If Jokic is out and Michael Porter plays, Michael Porter is probably another guy you have to have a lot of exposure to. Not a lot, but a lot of exposure to for sure. Austin Rivers in deep tournaments if you want to go that direction, or Campazzo because they know they have the upside. But that's really about it I can see myself get to on Denver. What about you, Justin?
Yeah, I think if Jokic is out, we have three min-price centers, basically, in Jokic, Bol Bol, and McGee. And the odds are that one of them goes for 30-plus, and one or two of them go for 15 fantasy points or less, maybe. Like, they are so boom or bust and so volatile. Obviously, if Okafor gets the start, he's in the best spot, right? But if we don't get that Jokic news until, you know, late for some reason, even if we do, I mean – Can you play McGee and Bol Bol together? Personally, I wouldn't, because there's going to be so many min price ish guys on this slate that have 10x upside. That why play two guys that could cap each other a little bit in terms of upside? But there's going to be a lot of interesting GPP calls in this. But very quickly, that Okafor could turn to chalk, which is insane. But here we are, and it's the one of the last days of the regular season. I will say that if Mike Malone decides to start sitting everybody and Austin Rivers, I know you mentioned Austin Rivers, and I think he's at a really interesting price point on DK. Now, the right people would have to sit. But first of all, it's because he's the king of garbage time. He looks good in garbage time against Bush League defense. And B, because his price on this slate is going to be in no man's land. He's 4,600 on DK. So you're going to have the people playing the Saban Lees at 4K, the Bulbos, the Jalils, and going ultimate stars and scrubs that I think Rivers might be just priced just high enough where he might just kind of be lost in the sauce here in terms of lineup construction. And we know what his upside is, especially like, who knows if he just Malone just pulls the plug and most guys and leaves Austin Rivers out there. I mean, he's got 30 point upside easy at 4,600. He's been playing, you know, 20, 30 minutes in some cases as it is in some blowouts and stuff like that. So this is another pivotal game here. And I'm glad we're getting it out of the way early. Chief, I know you're about to say something here. What else you got for me?
Well, speaking of that, let's say we go on speculation that Malone sits half of these guys. Like, Shaq Harrison's going to be in play. Howard's going to be in play. Like, it's going to be bananas on DK when half of this team is, like, 3K. Like, it's going to be crazy.
So would you – if you want to be a little, I guess, safer with your entry fees tomorrow, are you more prone to play FanDuel – where you can only pick two guards, only pick two forwards, like instead of cramming 6 3K guys in? Like, so what do you think, website wise, how would you attack not only Friday, but the net over the weekend is going to be the same stuff too. So if you're crazy enough to play Chief and Dre, like, what do you think about lineup constructions? Are you partial to play on one side or the other? Put the contest, you know, prizes aside and things like that. So I don't want to hear about the qualifiers because I know we're all thinking about them, but just in terms of what's better to play on. I'll tell you what's better to play on. Don't answer that. Superdraft.com. You don't got to worry about salaries. Shout out to Superdraft.com, promo code Grinders, Grinders. Boy, am I good sometimes. Get on over there. There might be a surprise for you. Promo code Grinders on Superdraft. They have the multipliers and not the salary. Pretty cool aspect they bring to the community. back to your regularly scheduled program, Chief. So where do you play in FanDuel, DK? Got any advice out there?
Look, man, I've already decided I'm going to be on DK tomorrow for NBA.
All right.
That's where I'm going to be. So, and it's going to be MLB for FanDuel. Like, that's what's going down tomorrow. All right. We're running out of seats. I got to stop doing this to myself, though, right, Dre? Like, the past couple live finals here, I start chasing late and do get close, but I got to give myself more time. But unfortunately, time is of the essence, so I'm going to be on DK for NBA tomorrow. That's just how it is.
Dre, yeah. I know you play a lot of FanDuel. Well, you play some DK. You play some DK. You got your seats on DK. The rare time of the year like this, are you partial to playing one side or the other between DK and FanDuel?
Yeah, it depends. Like, I know strictly football, I've been playing like on DK. That's why I love the point system better on there. But tomorrow, specifically on the slate, or even over the weekend, I would prefer FanDuel just because, like you said, it gives you have to make straightforward choices. And I know that makes it hard for some people because they're so used to the multi-position eligibility. So to me, it's like, hey, it's cut and dry, simple. You got to play these. You got to pick 2 point guards out of the rest of them and see who's going to be the best and who's going to score the most points. So to me, it would be FanDuel for sure.
Okay, one guy we didn't talk to. Last mention of this game, we could have probably a separate podcast on this entire game if we really wanted to, because there's just so many moving parts. Killian Hayes, 5,800 on DK. Don't know what he is on FanDuel, but if he starts, you know, he's seen mega minutes the last two games as well. Are you in or out on Killian Hayes, which, you know, his role will probably be huge? He's got Josh Jackson, the only other, and Sadiq Bey. So you got three kind of, as of right now, regular rotation guys, but that's it. So what do you think about Killian Hayes? Is he a tournament option at this point because his price is higher than some of these other attractive values?
I think he is. I mentioned before, because to me, like the way I'm attacking this slate is I'm thinking of any player who has the potential to give me at least 35 fantasy points or more, maybe 30 minimum. But if you don't have that upside for that much or more, I can't roster you in my lineup. Killian Hayes definitely has that for sure in his bag. And I think he can definitely get there for sure. He'll be different because a lot of people are going to be playing, like you said, stars and scrub and going to someone cheaper. So I like the option with the minutes, and it's a great GPP play for sure.
What do you think, Chief?
I think we need to be playing Vlatko Cancer from the Denver Nuggets. I'm just kidding. But we're laughing. I'm telling you, Malone sits all these people. Like, you're going to have to be deciding, am I playing Vlatko Cancer on a Friday night in my NBA slate? But now I like Killian. Killian's in play. I mean, you know, bottom line is minutes equal money in this business, and he's going to have the minutes. And he's 5,200 on FanDuel, which, like, that's an incredible price.
All right. That's enough of that game.
Vlatko Cancer. Just say that out loud.
I'll have some shares. If I go multi, I'll have some shares. I probably won't.
Sounds like
Vlatko played 20 minutes tonight.
Don't sleep.
Did he?
He played 20 minutes.
All right. Philly and Orlando, folks.
Oh, God.
It gets better, I promise. It gets better. It doesn't get better. It doesn't get better. So Philly ran out of the gym by Miami for most of the game on Thursday.
Joel Embiid.
Talk to me about this one, Chief. I know you followed this slate really closely on Thursday. It wasn't all roses on Thursday. So give me this game. Give me it in a nutshell. What happened with the Sixers Thursday? And, you know, Philly-Orlando just makes me want to vomit on Friday, personally.
They caught a beatdown. And a part of this is I think Joel Embiid just should have sat this game. I don't think he was ready to play. He played 25 minutes, scored 6 points, 2 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals and 4 turnovers. Sounds like a man that was not ready to play. Probably was still a little lethargic from the sickness. Just keep this man out. Don't you guys have bigger fish to fry than to be trying to squeeze? But like, just stop it, right? They got ran out of the gym anyway. Should have just kept the man out. They might have actually been more competitive with him off the floor because of his situation. With that being said, they're playing the Orlando Magic tomorrow, and they should mop the floor with this team with or without Joel Embiid. Ha, 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 not so fast. We know what Philly does in these situations. Orlando's going to keep this game competitive, folks. I sneakily like Orlando in this spot because of the fact that Philly just wets the bed in these tight matchups. They should win by 30, and you look at the end of the night, and it's 5 minutes left, and the other team's down like 4 points. Like, what are we doing? This is the Philadelphia 76ers, but at the end of it all, they'll still squeeze out a win. But for that reason, I am interested in the Orlando Magic, and this is all speculation based on the trends that we've seen from the Philadelphia 76ers. That's all this is.
Let me lead you into this, Dre. Just food for thought for both of you guys. I just peeped the schedule for the weekend. Philly is, let's see here, the Sixers are 47-23. Brooklyn's right there at 46-24. Orlando is at Philly on Friday, obviously. On Saturday, Chicago plays Brooklyn on Saturday, and we won't have a podcast for any of these games. So that's meaningful games for both. If Philly loses Friday, Brooklyn's knocking on the door. Hello, folks. And Chicago wants to keep the dream alive. At that point, they still might not be eliminated.
No, if the Wizards win tomorrow, I think Chicago's out.
So it depends, yeah. So may or may not. However, on Sunday, wow, the Wizards play the Hornets on Sunday. Totally off topic a little bit here. But Brooklyn has Cleveland, who they should mop, you would think. And Philly plays Orlando again on Sunday to close out the season. Interesting stuff here. Anyway, Dre, over to you. You know, now that we kind of got that scheduling crap out of the way, but what are your thoughts here? You know, Sixers, Orlando. Again, depends on who we see on the Sixers side on the court, I think, right?
Yeah, it really does for sure. But honestly, like, this, when you go over the schedule, I was going to bring up that point that they don't got that big of a lead as far as on Brooklyn right now. So, and I really think that that Philadelphia wants to be the number one seed. So I look for them to go all out and probably play their guys and try to get this W and try to see if they can lock up home court advantage possibly. It's going to be tough, but I think if they get a win, they definitely should probably be able to lock it up for sure, because that'd be like, what, two games ahead of Brooklyn? It's impossible, I think, at that point to catch up, even if they tie at that point, because I don't know who has the season series. But that's something to probably look into later on when it comes to scheduling. But anyway, from this game, I love Tobias Harris. He's probably someone I would definitely get in. Obviously, Joel Embiid is one of the top players. You can definitely get in your roster at 9-6 on FanDuel. He's under 10K. I know he hasn't been playing well, but that's we know his upside in this matchup, and he can go off. So he's someone I would definitely target for sure. I don't know if I can play Ben Simmons. I like Ben Simmons better when Joel Embiid is not playing. I mean, yes, because that way Ben Simmons has a more rebounding upside. So he's someone I definitely probably cannot look at tomorrow for sure. And that's really about it on that side. It's pretty much the three-headed monster that they have in Orlando. The only person I really play is probably Cole Anthony. That's really it. Orlando's like a little of a mess, kind of hard to figure them out. And they've been playing these guys for the longest time now. And to me, they don't have really, really upside on this slate when it comes to all the other value we have in the later games.
Yeah, I'm with you. Chief, you in or out on anybody in Orlando? For me on Orlando, I'm probably passing on DK pretty much entirely for single entry and three max type stuff.
I mean, I think if Mo Bamba's out again, you know, Wendell Carter Jr. is going to play some minutes. He's 5,500. Probably won't be the best value on this slate, so I'm really not sweating it too much. Cole Anthony, though, for sure. RJ Hampton, 5,500 on FanDuel. Like, I think he'll be in play. These guards, those two guards, I think, would be the main thing. In other news, my injury, let's see here. What could I call this? Anyways, just following me around to all sports. Played the Cincinnati Reds today, and Mike Moustakas and Nick Senzel are just out of the lineup. Got hurt. I mean, what is going on here, people? What is going on? I'm nice to people. I'm kind. I'll give someone the shirt off my back. I do not deserve injuries in every lineup build I get this week. This is crazy. Anyway, back to you. That's how I feel about this game, man. It's RJ. It's Cole Anthony. I like those two guys for sure.
This one might be a little more cut and dry and maybe a little quicker because we have Utah and Oklahoma.
We got to get a challenge going, by the way. We got to start finding interesting named characters on each team. So Vlatko Cancer was my guy from Denver. But from Orlando, we have Ignas Brazdeikis. You got to find one from every team. All right. This is going to be fun to close out this slate. There we go. Back to you, Luch. Back to you.
No, I said my piece. It's Utah and Oklahoma City. And we have Donovan Mitchell, who's out, obviously. You know, but on the OKC side, Lu Dort, we know, is out. Ty Jerome is questionable. This is a team, Oklahoma City, it's just been hard to consistently target the same guys for more than a week from because they're distributing minutes to everybody under the sun. And you kind of never know what they're going to throw at you. So this is a tough game for me to be excited about really getting any exposure from in single entry type stuff or three max type stuff. Kenrick Williams is just like the ultimate GPP monster because he'll play 20 minutes one game, he'll play 15 minutes the next, then he'll play 30. And then he'll almost rip down a poor man's triple-double. Again, Sacramento played 33 minutes at 20 real points, you know? So I feel like for tournaments with all this other quote-unquote attractive options where bigger roles are opening up for the Saban Lees of the world and the Jahlil Okafors, and you're going to get those 40 to 65% ownerships on those guys. Who the hell is going to play Kenrick Williams? You know, just kind of a guy who's been in the same role, but we're closing down on the regular season. And if I'm max multi entering, I'll have 7 or 8 shares of Kenrick Williams floating around because he's boom or bust. And, you know, you're going to get with all these other guys that are in quote unquote much better spots. Kenrick Williams kind of catches my attention of a guy I'm willing to roll the dice with as kind of a complete one-off from this game. That's just my first look input there. So I'll throw this ball over to you, Chief, and then you can toss it to Dre.
I mean, in terms of this game, I'm expecting Utah to mop the floor with these guys. But, I mean, it's, like you said, is Kenrick Williams even going to play? Like, we don't know. We found out like a few minutes before the start time on the last slate that he was going to start. Like, had we known that earlier, we would have had shares. And lo and behold, he comes out for 32 minutes, puts up 45 fantasy points. I don't have much interest in this game at all. But who I do have interest in is Udoka Azubuike. That's who I found in this game. I think there's one in every game. This is going to be good. A little bit of trivia.
What do you think?
Getting a little trivia before we have the trivia on Friday night after crunch time's over.
For the big brain,
For the big brain. So, I mean, this game is going to be tough to tackle because I don't really think you can play anyone from the Utah side. It really depends on where Phoenix is still playing. Are they up right now? Because that's going to matter a lot, I think, and dictate probably what the Jazz does, maybe.
Phoenix, I know they might, right now.
Phoenix is up 5. So
with 9 Phoenix minutes left in the fourth.
If Phoenix holds on to win, then the Jazz are going to probably throw their guys out because they want home court advantage. They want to avoid possibly playing the Lakers in the first round. So I personally think Mike Conley, if he plays, he's going to probably play like around 20 minutes. I don't think you can roster him. But you can still roster the other guys just because even though they're at their price, they're priced appropriately for if Mike Conley's out. And Donovan Mitchell as well, but I still think that they're still fine to play in this type of situation matchup. on the so Carson, someone I would love to target a lot. Rudy Gobert, he's another good option. Center might be a good. This league's just loaded in general with talent and value, but Rudy Gobert, I think, is a great play tomorrow. He's an easy have a double double. I do like on OKC. With all the guards pretty much almost being out, obviously Kendrick Williams is a great option. I like Svi Mykhailiuk. That's who I like. I think he's a great play. I know Theo Maledon's going to be back a little bit. It's going to be interesting to see if the other guard from Ty Jerome, if he's going to play. I think he doesn't, though. And that way, Svi will be able to get more minutes. And I like him as another option for sure. That's really who I would target for this game. But those are going to be like more so last pieces into my lineups, I think, as fillers. Because I think, like I said, this we still haven't gotten to these some other meaningful games on the slate yet tonight. And then compare bunching that with injuries and stuff like that as well.
Yeah, I like the Svi call. I mean, with Ty Jerome out, and look at his last three games. He shot the ball more than he has probably throughout the regular season, averaging 15 shot attempts over the last three games. Only playing the mid-20s, though. Every game has been a complete slaughter, though. I don't know why anyone would expect this one would be any different, though. You know, by some miracle, this game's close. Yeah, you can play Svi. You know, maybe he goes off. You know, you can maybe play Kendrick Williams. By some miracle. By some range of outcome that is unlikely. But these guys, like you said, with all the other guys on this slate, they're going to be what, probably sub 10% less, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't feel great about it, but definitely, you know, keep tabs on these guys. Chief, you want to bring it over to our favorite team of the podcast, the Toronto Raptors, and talk about this Toronto Dallas game? But I will say, listen, everyone, our Elfrid Payton call is pretty bad. We could rant on that for another 45 minutes. So why Tibbs didn't give him the burn, et cetera. And Alec Burks went off. All I can say is that's our bad, but that's late season NBA. If you're playing at this point, you don't feel good about anything. However, Toronto, we said, you know, we kind of bashed Nick Nurse on Wednesday night when we were recording, and we said, hey, like the minutes are weird. The guys that it's volatile value. And Nick Nurse rolls out this lineup. And then what does he do? He doesn't do anything to help his cause with our free Chris Boucher movement. He makes it worse.
It's terrible in Toronto right now. I mean, and look, I think we had, me and Dre had a show earlier today, and I talked about crossing out these Toronto guys, and then lo and behold, he crosses more of them out, which had we known this earlier, and we'd known they were going to play like seven guys, we would have said, well, probably got to play some of this value. At any rate, you can't trust Toronto right now. We just got to wait and see what's going to happen. Utah Watanabe, that's who we're going to call out from this spot. There's somebody with an interesting name on each team. So that's the one, or each game, that's the one from this game. My assumption is Gary Trent's going to play tomorrow, and Stanley Johnson will go back relegated to his 20 minutes, but who knows? I have no clue. If you can see, I haven't even been able to sing a song on this slate, and that's just god awful.
Well, yeah. Once again, I'll just play middleman and then pass it over to you, Dre. Just looking at the standings here, so Porzingis doesn't have an injury designation. Dallas is in the sixth seed at 41-29. The Lakers can technically catch them and pass them and force Dallas to play that play-in game if the cards fall where they do. Dallas can also pass Portland and get up to that five seed.
If Portland loses tonight, Dallas is going to pass them automatically.
So, yeah, but hold on. Like, this will confuse me about this play-in thing. I think I spoke to you briefly about this before. Dallas won their division, so how are they going? They can't fall. They shouldn't be able to fall below five, right? Or they change this whole.
It's still overall record. And okay. They're 41-29. The Lakers are 40-30. And if the Lakers win, I think the Lakers have the tiebreaker over Dallas, which will put them in the sixth spot. And the Mavs will be in the seventh spot, which means they got to play in.
Wow. Okay, that's crazy. You win your division, and you get rewarded by being in a playing tournament.
Well, hey, welcome to the NBA, because the Cowboys and the Redskins do this all the time. They go 6-10 and win a division, and then make the playoffs.
Yep. Right.
So what I'm just getting at here, Boogie, is Dallas might want to roll out and win this damn game, right? So, what are your thoughts on Luka Doncic by some for large field GPPs? If I don't think Dallas is super good. Like, they've had their duds. They've been playing well lately. But in some realm or imaginary world that Toronto keeps this close, which, listen, we saw Stanley Johnson go over 60. We saw Elf not even really play. We saw Chris Boucher active and not even play. We've seen crazy things happen in late season NBA. What if this game's close and Luka goes for 70 and not a lot of people are on him? Then what are we talking here, Dre? I don't know. I'm spitballing here, man.
Nah, in some world out there, yes, that happens. That's the realities out there. I don't know. I mean, he's going to be my player pool for sure because he's Luka. But I would have more interest in Kristaps Porzingis because of his price. It's a lot cheaper, especially on FanDuel at 6'8". What is he on? Let me look at what he's on DraftKings currently. I think he's a little bit.
He's 86 on DK.
Cameron Payne's got 40, by the way.
Jesus Christ.
Use your imagination this weekend, guys. You got to use your imagination a little.
You got honestly, with Toronto, and even with Toronto, first of all, Kristaps, you can't play him on DK. Luka will be the only guy you want to target from Dallas on DK. On FanDuel, I think Kristaps Porzingis looks better. As opposed to Luka, just because I think that point guard position is going to be valuable, and I like Russell Westbrook a lot tomorrow. On Toronto's side, I don't honestly like. I can't. We don't. We can't trust Ignatius. I kind of feel like I don't want to play no one from Toronto. Like, I'm just leaning towards that way because I don't know if it's worth the headache. Granted, they have guys that are all that are talented to put the upside up, but that might be something I might take a risk at because. Granted, I was under the field on Gary Trent, but Gary Trent should have played. He was in a perfect spot, and so should have Boucher. Like, what was the point of being active for when they could have been out and just resting and playing whoever else they had? Nick Nurse is probably one of the most frustrating coaches. He's worse than Greg Popovich, and that's hard to top. At least Greg Popovich let us know something. So,
listen, man,
I would just pay attention to the news and just hope for the best.
My final note on this Dallas side of things, and if you guys want to talk Toronto, go for it, is just that
I don't.
When you hit the toggle button on lineup HQ and you look at Luka's numbers with Porzingis on and off the court, Luka's metrics per minute don't really change that much. So, and Chief, we talked about this. You brought it up, and you're right. You know, there is the correlation between them. Is surprisingly, it doesn't really give Luka a huge bump. So, I think Luka's role is the same. And I don't know. Luka's a gamer. If he needs to win, I'm going to be over the weight on Luka on the field. That's just my two cents. And I don't know what I would do with the Toronto side because I don't want to do anything. I don't want to do anything. I don't want to do anything with this Toronto. Stanley Johnson goes for $1 billion. I guess I'm going to have Stanley Johnson exposure. Nick Nurse might just not play him tomorrow. By then, who knows, right? I don't know. So, I mean, Stanley Johnson exposure, can we agree that, like, multi-entering, you should probably, if he's listed as a starter, throw him in there?
Just one lineup. One lineup won't hurt.
Okay. So Toronto remains a scary mystery. And, it sounds like Dallas won't be too popular either in the spot. But the wheels are turning for me. So if you want to move on, Chief, it's your call. If you have any other thoughts on this one, if not, bring me into the Clippers game here.
Look, man, Clippers, Houston, the biggest thing on this slate is, are Kawhi and Paul George going to sit? Or who else is going to sit from the Clippers that they may deem valuable enough? Like, because the Clippers have done this too. Oh, Kawhi's out. Paul George is going to play. Then Paul George gets ruled out with a migraine. Marcus Morris is going to play. Then Marcus Morris gets ruled out at 10 o'clock with a foot. And so I would be very leery of the Clippers on this late. My read, and this is, I'm just trying to get ahead of it. This feels like a slate where Morris, Kawhi, Paul George could sit. Patrick Beverley just got back, but you know, maybe he could sit as well because he's one of the elder statesmen. I'm very afraid of the Clippers outside of the guys that we know that will play if the other guys sit, like Man, like Luke Kennard, like Reggie Jackson. And heck, even Reggie Jackson might sit because he's actually been playing more minutes than Patrick Beverley. But that's kind of my read on this game. I think these guys could sit, and I'm very scared of the Clippers, but I'm not afraid of Houston. Christian Wood's finally ruled out before the slate, like, so we don't have to have him questionable and all these other random guys. House is out, Nawaba's out, Gordon's out. So we're back to, you know, the staple players that we've been playing. Kelly Olynyk should be a big-time player on this slate, and he's been doing it in limited minutes now. Like, that's what's crazy about Kelly Olynyk. 28 minutes, 42 fantasy points. 25 minutes, 44 fantasy points. If he ever gets back to 35 minutes, he's going to drop another 60. It's going to be ugly. So, Kelly O, Kenyon Martin Jr. I mean, Kenyon Martin Jr. is pretty much a walk at 40 at this point with upside for 50 or close to 50. So, he's kind of he's in play. And then I don't know what to do with the rest of these guards. Kyrie Thomas is priced up now. At least that's what it is on FanDuel. I'm hitting up DK right now. But, yeah, Kyrie Thomas, 5,800. Getting real close. Like, I don't know if we can play that. Lamb, 37, but he's not really doing much. Kenyon Martin Jr., only 7K. Like, these are the prices I want to pay for these guys. And I know we probably want to get Westbrook in, but in my mind, the bill right now is get Westbrook, get a handful of these 3K guys, and I want to focus on this Houston team because I know all these guys are going to play minutes.
Go ahead, Dre. What's up?
I completely – sorry. Oh, goodness.
Ooh. He's excited, folks. He likes this one. I feel you. Yeah, you know, KJ Martin playing mega minutes. We've seen his upside. Listen, Chief, if you play a fairly balanced build tomorrow, you're going to be unique as it is. If you play at most two min price to 4K guys and kind of go 7K, 8K guy, 9K guy, you are immediately unique in your tournament. I think there's some rationale to taking that direction. I mean, we're talking Russell Westbrook. Okay. He's on God mode, as Drake would say, right? He's 12.8, though. He's not a lock to crush. You know, I know you want the floor. I know you want the Russell Westbrook 75 bomb. But if you kind of go with the KJ Martin route, and I think you can, you know, or a couple guys to his similar salary, and don't go, you know, don't pour in four or five min price to 4,500 guys in your lineup. I think that is a very interesting contrarian look for GPP. So just some food for thought. And Dre, whenever you're ready, talk to us about Houston. What are you thinking here?
Yeah, sorry about that. I agree completely with Chief. I love Kelly Olynyk tomorrow. Kenyon Martin Jr. Even I'm coming around to Amarnie Brooks. They're gonna have the upside for 40 points, and this team I feel comfortable with playing the guys from there, and knowing that the minutes are gonna be there for them, and the upside for 40 fantasy points, and the pace is gonna be very fast too in this game, especially with where we're thinking, which we do both think that Kawhi Leonard and Paul George are gonna be out, so I love targeting that spot too. One person on the on the Houston side that I mean. Now, on Houston, on Clippers side, that I might be interested in tomorrow. I don't know how they're going to do it, or are they going to roll him out or not, is DeMarcus Cousins. Is he going to be able to – it's another center, but is he going to be able to get some run if the Clippers are going to roll everyone out tomorrow just before, you know, for it being the last game and him getting, like, around 20, 25 minutes of runs, so that we can get him, like, a little bit more into some game shape for the playoffs. Because I think they're going to need his big body during that run. What do you think? How do you feel about that, Chief? Like, do you think DeMarcus can get in there or no, honestly?
I mean.
Or is that too wild of a play?
Not on this slate. I mean, I think because right now he's playing like very limited minutes. But if Kawhi and Paul George sit, that's going to open up a little bit more for him. God forbid. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, do you think we need Marcus Morris and Batum to sit?
I think just Marcus Morris, really. Because Batum hadn't been playing as many minutes as those other guys. Okay. If those three are out, Boogie's on my list for sure.
I think if Kawhi and Paul George are both out, I think this thing turns into a more of a YMCA game. And then I'm really interested in making a lot if I do end up.
It's a good game sack.
Yeah, I was gonna say if I end up max multi-entering, which I probably won't because it's Friday night, and I kind of want to do something. You know, if you're playing this late and you're multi-entering, you're not going to the movies, you're not going to Texas Roadhouse, you're not going to Olive Garden,
and I'm gonna be on the road again tomorrow.
You're not gonna be driving on the road again. You just can't do it. So really be careful, but. If my plans fall through, I don't have plans. Who am I kidding? I'm a loser. But if they do, I don't know. Maybe I will. I'm saying it's a 9 o'clock game, so it's tough. And there's so many attractive values in these earlier games that are going to break. Like, if Paul George and Kawhi off the court open this game up, defensively, a lot less chance of a blowout. Defensively, the Clippers take a huge hit. It opens up Terrence Mann, who's 3,900, who at that point, especially if we don't get news, is going to be significantly probably under-owned, which with all the value that we will know closer to lock time. But for me, it also opens up guys like, maybe I'm interested in Armani Brooks, even though he's 4,800, but if it's competitive, he'll probably push 40 minutes. We've seen him do it. And maybe I'm interested in overpaying a little bit for Kyrie, having some exposure. Like KJ Martin said, if Paul George and Kawhi sit, if they do, that changes my whole perspective on this game. If they play, I'm not as interested in this game. I don't really want KJ Martin in those matchups as a wing against Paul George and Kawhi.
Oh, Luch. That's what I mean, they're going to play regardless. They'll get blown out and KJ will still put up 45.
Yeah, but he's 7K, you know? I mean,
I'll take 45 for 7K every day.
There's going to be 15 guys that are 4K in the slate that are going to go for 40 tomorrow.
Who else are you going to play if Westbrook is like the only real stud? Like if we're looking at this slate right now, we're probably thinking Westbrook plays. These aren't guarantees, by the way, but Westbrook plays at this point. I think KJ Martin's got a better floor than Luka Doncic.
Well,
I'm not exaggerating.
Per dollar. Yeah.
Yes. It's true. Luke isn't hitting 50 like on a regular basis anymore. Luke is hitting like 42.
I know. It just makes him a
great tournament player. I don't need that for 10K. I don't want that. Like, great tournament. You know what I'm saying? So last thing too, Daniel Oturu. You know, I had to squeeze this name in. That's our guy from this game, Daniel Oturu. Ladies and gentlemen, from the Clippers, doesn't play at all. But I mean. I'd be willing to play all these Houston guys. Like Kelly Olynyk's got more upside than Luka Doncic right now, and that's the legit truth. Like I'm not exaggerating. He's got more upside than Luka.
I believe it. Yep, you're right about that because Kelly Olynyk, he's gonna put him in monster games, and he like I don't know. I want to look at the game log because I don't know if the last game when I was watching the Lakers game was an outlier. He played the whole majority 7 to 8 minutes in the first quarter, maybe 10, and then didn't play the whole second quarter.
Yeah.
And then came
he
in.
He had 13 fantasy points at halftime. I remember that.
Yeah. Yeah. And then he just came in the second half, played the first, his first normal stint, and then came back in for the last stint of the fourth quarter. So if he's going to play a full allotment of minutes, he's a fantastic play. But even in those limited minutes, he still can put up, obviously, we see he can still put up 40.
Yeah, I get it per dollar for sure. It's just, you know, what's your perspective on lineup construction, right? I obviously Luka has the raw points floor, but whoa, how are Luch, you building? And
I don't think Luch has more floor than Kelly Olynyk right now.
Well, I'm Luch, and I definitely I could definitely throw a zero out there, but Luka, I beg to differ. But on FanDuel, it's a totally different ballgame because you're playing Russell at point guard, right? So. And Luka's point guard. That, I think that's a different discussion, I think, between websites for sure. Because obviously, you know, Russell's 12-8 And there's a utility slide as well. And Luke is obviously cheaper than 12.8. So it's it.
But here's the
you can still make the same argument though, because like on last night's slate, Kelly Olynyk was what, 7.2 or 7? He was like 7.8 when he put up 44 fantasy points and got close to Jason Tatum, who was what, 10.1 on DK. And the just a point per dollar, the matchup was just so much, was just better.
True. And, so. But then, and then you get in the discussion of game stacks. And if a game is good or is a blowout to, you know,
yeah.
Go ahead, Chief.
And that's what I was going to say. Luka at 10.8 against Toronto is very invalid. Like that, I don't want to play Luka at all. Like I don't see any value in that. Like, is Toronto going to keep this game close? I don't think so. But Russell Westbrook's got to keep playing. You know, they got to win this. If they win this game tomorrow, they officially cut out Chicago, and then maybe he'll rest on Sunday and get ready for the play-in. Because either way, he's still going to be in the 10th seed. He's just got to single-handedly hold off the Chicago Bulls. And right now, Russell Westbrook has more floor and more ceiling than everybody. Everybody.
Oh, he totally does. But I'm here to play devil's advocate. Look at him.
I didn't think we would end up in this spot on this game arguing Kelly Olynyk versus Luka, but here we are, folks. Shenanigans came in a little late, but we're here.
We have two games left. Let's circle the wagon back to Westbrook. It's actually incredible how many close games the Wizards have played in. They played against Dallas. They won by one, or they lost by one. Westbrook played 40 minutes, 74 DK points. Played that crazy double OT against Indiana, played 30 or whatever, overtime game, 39 minutes, 81 DK points.
OT in Indiana twice.
You know, Milwaukee, 1-point game, 40 minutes, 81 DK. Toronto, 2-point game. Toronto kept it close with a playoff team there, 63 points. Indy again, we know the 87 bomb, 1-point game. Atlanta, 1-point game, another 80 bomb. Atlanta again, 4-point game, another 70 bomb. Let's scroll down to April 30th. The last non-competitive game they played was against the Cleveland Cavaliers. 31 45. Minutes and only 51 DK points.
Oh, only 51.
At 12-8? At 12-8.
That's like Luka getting 40 at 10-8.
You just told me Kelly Olynyk could go for 45. So if they blow this game out, then you don't want Westbrook. You want Kelly Olynyk.
Well, I play Kelly Olynyk regardless. It's just
fire him up, Gonzaga's finest. Fire him up,
yeah,
baby.
Yeah, that's the point. Like, I just can't. I mean, I will say this: Cleveland is a better team than Toronto right now. This is just true. It's just Jared Allen, Kevin Love.
They are.
Colin Sexton shooting the ball 50 times. Like they're just better. Like they're just not a good team for the season.
I'm throwing logic out the window this weekend if I'm playing NBA, like in terms of what game's going to be a blowout. Of course, I'm going to construct my lineups as I typically do, but I'm not ready to pick blowouts or anything.
You're right. You're right, Luch. What I probably need to do is what's the game I hate the most? What game do you hate the most?
Well, we didn't talk about it yet. Golden State, because everybody's questionable. We have no idea what's going to happen, and it's at 9:30.
Well, anyway, go ahead, Dre. Just take – I can't.
Let's move on to Sacramento versus Memphis.
Oh, I forgot about that one, man.
A repeat of today.
I mean, only first person I want to touch on that game, honestly, who did not get a lot of ownership, who honestly, I know his price went up. Just play him, Terrence Davis. Just play him. His price went up, I know. He in it because he's going to be low owned again tomorrow because his price went up. He can go off in this matchup, and we already know who's out for Sacramento. And we also might get Rashard Holmes out, so it's going to be more players that are out for sure. Memphis, I think you can just play Ja Morant. You can play JoVal, Anderson, Brooks. Those like the normal cast. I think Jaren Jackson's going to sit because normally he's been sitting on back-to-backs as an injury management. So I kind of like Brandon Clark there too a little bit as well. That's like the main guys I would target. Tillman's going to come into play then. And then that's another guy who's going to be chalky who's in a great spot, phenomenal spot actually. So this is probably my favorite game sack until we get some news with the Clippers, which you were just talking on. What do you guys think?
I like it. I mean, I don't have anything else, man. I like it. Outside of maybe the fact that Mo Harkless keeps playing 30 minutes. And I know he only put up 15 today, but he's been around 30 like every game. I like that stack, man. I'm with you.
Yeah, so Sacramento was officially eliminated from any play-in tournament possibilities on Thursday. And they just won't do anything on DK to Metu's price. 4,300, another guy's playing 30-plus. Rashawn Holmes got hurt on Thursday. Probably, likely not going to play on Friday.
And Metu played 34 minutes. That's the most he's played all season.
And he'll do it again. He's going to do it again on Friday. One of my favorite values in terms of minutes and – consistency and shot attempts on this slate is Metu again.
Took 16 shots.
Yeah, man. He is squarely in play as one of my favorite plays. And he'll be very popular, I'm sure, throughout the industry. That's my biggest takeaway from this game.
Dogecoin back up to 52 cents, by the way. If you could have got it for 39 cents earlier today. Not sure if anybody's following it. But just wanted to put that out there for the people.
We got breaking news. We got everything. We got everything. Okay. And by the way, my least favorite game is Oklahoma City and Utah. It's just
bad. That's the game we need to stack. If we're throwing out the logic, stack the OKC Utah game. Play some Moses Brown.
Kendrick Williams.
Yeah. Fire throw him up in there. That's your winner, folks. Because everything else that makes sense is not happening.
The minutes distribution there is just god awful, though. It's tough, and there's a lot of surprises. But speaking of surprises, there's a sea of red injury designations with this Golden State New Orleans game. So what do we know? Not much. We know a bunch of guys are questionable as of Thursday night. Draymond, Wiggins, Curry, Mulder, questionable. Eric Pascal is available. Have at it, gentlemen. I don't know what to say. There's not much to say until we know what's going on.
I'm
going to
be honest with you. I don't think the Warriors care about this game.
They don't.
Set 8, 9, and 10 are pretty much locked in at this point.
They don't.
So there's no reason for them to play. They're either going to
be how many games Warriors have left?
Two, I think. Or one. After tomorrow. Is it two or one? Because the last game of the season, everybody's playing Sunday. So they've got tomorrow and Sunday.
Okay.
Everybody's playing Sunday.
I mean, like, only thing the Warriors would care about is probably, do they want to avoid the Lakers or not? I think that kind of matters. That's why I think everyone sits probably tomorrow. So yeah, they can lose.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Possible. And let me tell you,
either way, they still got to see LA. If they win, they still have to see them, right?
No, because I'm looking at it right now. The 37 and 33 is Memphis is 37 and 33. If Golden State falls to the number 9 seed, they will play San Antonio instead of the Lakers.
Is that how they're doing it?
I think so. So from what I gathered, I could be wrong. I thought they were doing 7 versus 8 to determine who's the 7th seed, and then the loser of that plays again to against the winner of the 9 and 10 to determine who's the 8th seed.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah. That's it. 7 plays 8, and whoever wins that game is the 7th seed. Yeah. And then that loser plays the winner of 9, 10. And then they're the 8th seed.
Yeah, so that's why I think.
Oh my gosh.
Golden State should want to avoid playing the Lakers.
Honestly?
That's my theory.
Let me say this. If I'm Golden State right now, I actually probably want to play the Lakers.
Oh, why?
Hear me out. If they play LA and they win, right, they've got to play Phoenix first round. LA would be the 8th seed, and they have to play Utah. And Utah gets bounced right now.
that benefits the Lakers, though, not Golden State, because Golden State's still going to lose in the first round. Well, it'd be a closer series in the first round for Phoenix, but.
I mean, is Steve Kerr playing some gamesmanship here?
I think so, because he always does this. I'm not surprised.
Well, I guess we got to think about the Lakers. I think care more about playing one game than the Warriors. If that's the case, yes. Because if the Warriors lose, I'm saying if the Warriors drop to the ninth spot, then they'll play the Spurs, and then they have to play the loser, which means they got to play two games versus them just playing one game and going to the seventh seed. I think the Warriors can get to the Lakers if everything falls right. Like if Curry's hot, Draymond's rolling, they could squeeze by. Because is LeBron even going to play? Like we think he is, but we don't know.
He's going to play. He's going to show up for that game. We already know that. That man's not human. He'll show up for that game.
This is interesting, though. This play-in, man. What a time to be alive when you have play-in NBA. I wonder who came up with that. Don't tell anybody.
Ooh, so Portland won by one tonight.
Oh, let me see. So that means so
that
Portland,
locks in, they're locks done. In, yeah, they're secure their spot now. And that means that means Phoenix is automatically the two seed.
Listen, ladies and gentlemen, how in the world did I profit on this NBA slate with a three from freaking Elfrid Payton? God is good. Anyway, I'm done.
Well, you know what? Hold on a second. Phoenix has two games left. Oh, I see. Is this updated? What's Phoenix's record right now? Can we refresh this?
48-21 I'm looking at.
48. So are they now 48-22 because they lost tonight?
They should be.
Whew. Okay. I mean, technically, if Dallas somehow wets the bed, as you would say, Chief, you know, they could actually be in the play-in tournament.
That's what I'm saying.
This is so confusing.
Honestly, there's a chance that Golden State's chilling too. As much as Steve Kerr wants to play head games, like he just might want to be super careful with you roll Steph Curry and Draymond out there for 40 minutes, get the rest that they want, whatever it is. Maybe they play once this weekend for like 10 minutes, tune up. I don't know. But maybe tomorrow's an off, maybe Friday's an off day. Maybe they just like they're just kind of ready for battle, you know? And, listen, if the whole cast is out here for Golden State just for time purposes, then we have some sick value here. If we get some news, you're talking on DK, you're talking Jordan Poole at 4,100, who is serviceable when a lot of these guys are healthy even. But my hottest take of the day is, out of all this value, if everybody on Golden State sits, Gary Payton drops 35. He's on back-to-back 10-day contracts. He's expected to sign a contract with the Warriors this weekend. You know how guys play on 10-day contracts. This guy balled out a little bit with the Wizards when he had some time there.
He's not in the pool on FanDuel. That's the problem.
Well, yeah, he's not. Jump on over to DK. That's my hot take. I don't love it, but you don't like that.
I
get it.
No, so, I like it. I like it.
Hot take. So, yeah, this news is critical. And if you're okay with burning a little bit of money and you save some spots for Houston and potentially burning some money and you save, you know, four or five slots for Houston game and the Golden State game, you know, and you get your studs in wherever you want. There's some leverage here to wait around because that Detroit value is going to be there in the beginning. That Denver value might be there. It's crazy. You got any thoughts on this one? What about the New Orleans side? Oh, Alonzo Ball's out. Brandon Ingram's questionable.
Brandon Ingram's not playing in this game. They can't get in the play-in. There's no reason for him to play.
There's no reason to play. But is there a reason for Alexander Walker to play 35 minutes? That's my question.
If he wants to just get run because he hasn't been playing. I mean, at this point, all the young guys need to be playing. Jackson Hayes, Wenyen Gabriel. Because they can't get in. I mean, and Eric Bledsoe's been playing big minutes. Maybe he's just trying to get out of town, but I don't The only way I think I play anybody from New Orleans in this game is if the Golden State people sit. Because if the Golden State guys play, they're gonna try to get this team done early and get out of town.
Yeah.
I love Najee Marshall tomorrow. I think he's a good play. Regardless whether Golden State decides to sit their guys or not, I think he's a fun I think he's probably the top play to me from this game, followed by Jordan Poole on the other side. And that's the only two people I could really could look at right now until we get more information, because I don't think honestly any of their starters play. Maybe one starter plays from Golden State, and I don't know who that is.
Probably Kent Bazemore.
Well, besides Bazemore.
Oh,
Kent Bazemore.
If they sit Curry, I think Draymond's sitting too.
Well, yeah, but I think Wiggins is going to be the one who's going to play. But if he does play, then you might have to get some shares with him because he's been going crazy lately. But he might also not play a lot of minutes either. It's going to be interesting to see. Yeah, it's a lot. You just pay attention to the news, ladies and gentlemen. That's all I can say.
JTA is in play though for sure.
Yes.
This is a new slate. Period.
On the flip side. If New Orleans pulls the plug on more of their lineup, like let's say Eric Bledsoe sits, then I like Kyra Lewis. This kid's a beast. If he's going to see 25 plus, I don't know. You're right. Maybe Eric Bledsoe wants to get out of town. I don't. He doesn't like it anywhere. What are they saying nowadays? I hate it here. Eric Bledsoe hated it in Phoenix. Didn't do his thing in Milwaukee. Now he's here in New Orleans and. I don't know
where they're going. No, Portland lost by one. I thought they won. They lost by one.
What?
Oh, Phoenix 118-117.
Okay, that changes everything then.
Oh, this damn CBS score app. I swear, man. It's so buggy sometimes. What? Damn. Okay, so that changes some things. Let's backtrack here. Circle back real quick.
So with Portland losing,
Utah,
the Mavs are now in the 5 spot.
Wow.
Portland 6, Lakers 7, Warriors still 8. And if the Lakers win, I think they're gonna. If the Lakers win, I think they've got Portland in the tiebreaker.
Oof.
I think. Hold on. Let me check. Right. They just played Portland like recently.
That's interesting. Man, this is
no, Portland won that game. God, they won 106-101.
So they own the tiebreaker.
I got to go back earlier this season because, oh, snap. Yeah, Portland beat them in December. Portland owns the tiebreaker. That's on me.
So Lakers are going to play. So Lakers are not – they're not in the playing game unless they – they can't pass Portland, but they can pass Dallas. That's what it is then. If Dallas loses the next two games and the Lakers win the next two games,
that means
the Lakers could be the number 5 seed or 4-6 seed, sorry, and Dallas would be in a play-in.
Yeah, that's what it is. So right now Dallas is 5 because Portland lost and they're at 41-30. The Lakers are at 40-30 and they still have 2 games, right? Yeah. Lakers still have 2 games. Portland has 1 game now, and that's on Sunday. So if Portland loses again, they'll be 41-31. And if the Lakers win both games, they're 42-30, which means even though the Blazers own the tiebreaker, the Lakers are going to have the better record, and Portland's going to have to play in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Whew. All right, so apparently Portland was ahead in that game with 4 seconds left. It must have been a crazy finish, and my score app just thought the game was over. And Phoenix must have squeaked out a bucket at the end. Or it looks like they might have hit a couple of foul shots, actually, to seal the deal. So crazy ending, 2 playoff teams with chips on their shoulder, and it's going to be fun this weekend. But listen, fellas, it was a pleasure closing out the regular season morning ground with you guys. So we're not getting out of here without a GPP food of the day. This is the only podcast where we have 3 of us on here. And Chief, I know this is in your wheelhouse. And look, you're starting to get that grin on your face already. So I know you're scheming over there.
I'm scheming. We're gonna bring Dre in on this. Dre, come on. If you don't have anything, I've always got something.
Talk to me, guys.
What's your food today? Dre is up in the NY. He's got a lot of good food around him. I know about Sylvia's. I know.
Oh, Sylvia's is really good.
I know about Amy Roots. I know about these places. Let us know, man.
I forgot about Amy Roots too. Dang, those are really good spots. Uh-huh. Those are great spots. Well, what's the category? Because I know we talked about like just food around town before. We did that last time. Do we have any other categories or like GPP foods? Like, actually, matter of fact, here's a good one. What's your favorite GPP food when you're on the road? Like, or when you're in another city, where do you like to go to? What do you like to eat at?
All local. Like, I don't. So let's talk about that. When I go out of town, I don't eat McDonald's. I don't eat Burger King. And clearly those are fast food places. I don't eat Red Lobster. I don't eat Olive Garden. I don't eat, you know, TGI Fridays. I don't eat Ruby Tuesday. I don't eat Old Charlie's. I eat all local. When I'm out of town, I want food prepared by the local people. I want the food that you can only get here. That's what I do when I'm out of town.
I'm with you. So if I'm somewhere, if I'm on like vacation and I have no responsibilities other than getting my news before lineup lock or something, and I go out for an early lunch, I'll find a nice, you know, restaurant for lunch, maybe grab a beer. And bartenders are the key. You got to talk to these bartenders.
I got to squeeze the song in. I got you.
And you say, no, yeah. Where am I going next? Like you shoot the shit with them. You tip them well, have a drink, get something. He said, where would you go if you were me? You know, and just say mom and pop and go local. And, you know, you'd be surprised where you end up. You go to the city, you got to make friends with people, right? Put yourself out there, talk to the locals. Cause like you said, Chief, I'm all about the hole in the wall, the underground stuff, you know, the things that you don't see online that the food critics write about or whatever. And that's what I'm all about, Dre. What about you?
Yeah, definitely for sure. For me, I love traveling. So like, I love going to Cali. So one of my favorite Cali spots that I go to, especially if I go to LA, Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles. First place I get to when I get off that plane. It's kind of local. It's local out there in that area only. I don't know anywhere else where they have that at. So to me, that's something I love to do. Love to go to for sure too. Over here though, in Jersey, it's a good spot called the Pancake Factory. Phenomenal breakfast, lunch, dinner. It's all great.
Okay,
it's a place you gotta definitely check out for sure.
Dre, so now you're gonna be in my neck of the woods because you're gonna be in Charlotte next week. I'm gonna put you on a restaurant Saturday morning. Are you gonna be there Saturday morning?
Yeah.
Okay. Don't mess yourself up too much Friday night. Saturday morning, I need you to get up, take a lift. I don't care how far it is away from your hotel. There's a breakfast place called The Yolk. It's run by Chef Greg and his wife. It's called The Yolk. Don't forget this.
The Yolk.
It will be packed when you get there. It's worth the wait. Some of the best breakfast you've ever had in your life. The Yolk in Charlotte, Chef Greg. It's going to be amazing.
It's almost summertime. People are hitting the East Coast beaches up here. And one of the popular places that in like the New York, Jersey, Delaware area, and they have some nice beaches in Delaware too, but Ocean City, Maryland's a really popular spot. Coolest place. I've been going there at least once every summer for a long weekend. And I'd actually, one of our bubble podcasts, I dropped this place and it was so good. I got to drop it again. And someone actually tweeted at me. They're like, yeah, that place is so good. Barn 34 in Ocean City, Maryland on 34th Street. Some of the best breakfast within 200 miles of me here. Barn 34. Gotta love it. Gotta love it. We got to get out of here for time purposes, but it was awesome to close out the last regular season Morning Grind. And we'll see what's on the horizon next week when the playoffs roll around. So give me some closing thoughts here, Chief and Dre, before we head out for the weekend.
First of all, glad to do the pod. We made it through a full season. We're almost back to normal, and that's probably going to be good for my wallet, because I'm going to go ahead and start stacking back up a few duckies with this normality. Speaking of which, last thing, and I'll hand it over to you, Dre. The one thing I like about the playoffs is the showdown prizes increase, and I love showdown for playoffs, because you know where the minutes are going to go. You just got to find that one guy that's going to pop off this game, like a Danny Green, like a Shake Milton. You know, I know I'm naming Sixers, but, you know, stuff like that. That's what you have to do in showdown. And I can't wait, because the pools get larger and larger as the games dwindle down. And I've made so much money over the years hitting on showdowns. When the end of the season gets crazy like this, and I felt like I'm spinning my wheels, the normality of playoffs, man, really, I love it a lot. So maybe we can talk some showdown content when we come back and do some of these pods.
Yeah, for me, game set. I can't say it enough. Tomorrow, I feel like towards the end of the season, you got to just go with these game stacks. I feel like that's probably a main contributor to why I'm being successful also towards this month too. You know, with all these games being close, of them playing for something, you want to target those players a lot. And we already know the rotations if you pay attention to the news and how condensed it is. So pay attention to that. You'll get all the information the right way and be able to run it back with someone else that's, you know, is going to potentially go off in that game. And, hey, you never know. You can end up winning big and see you at the top. That's all I got to say. See you at the top. And hopefully those is right below me in the GPP. But if not, I hope you win.
I love it, man. And that's kind of some of the fun about this, because you compete against a lot of the same people in the industry all the time. And, you know, we all pull for each other, but we all want to make a dollar. So it's a strange dynamic when sometimes you're playing against people you like. And, hey, I love we're all competitors. That's half the reason we do what we do. You know, I love competing. We're all similar. We always want to tune our process. I mean, listen, like, you never stop learning, right? The best players in the world never stop learning. If my work schedule, you know, works out, and the family time works out, there's some nights where I don't sleep as much, because I'm up, you know, researching the industry and seeing what other people are doing that are being successful, looking at different lineup construction, seeing why things were successful, seeing why things failed. I think no matter, you know, a lot of people that have a bad night, and it's not easy to do, just want to forget about the bad night. But sometimes it's good to go back in a macro perspective and see what failed, see what didn't work out and why. And as things change, as sports change, I mean, we see less defense in the NBA every season. We see less defense, higher game totals. We see the rake increase on pretty much every DFS website. So not only do you have to finish in the top 1%, you got to be within 1% in some of these large field GPPs to take it down. So taking down a tournament, a large field tournament, is...
Or a small field.
Any kind of tournament, but especially the large field, is such an accomplishment. Any tournament. Green is green, profit is profit, but definitely always review your process, see why things did fail. You learn a lot from your mistakes. That sounds very cliche and corny, but you don't get better without learning about when you fell on your face at the beginning, right? I think we could probably mostly all agree to that. And we're all here at Roto Grinders to help you out. Where can the people find you guys on Twitter? And, you know, obviously send us all DM. Anything we can do, we'll point you in the right direction. Give us some feedback to the show. It's been a ton of fun. Chief Boogie, what are your Twitter handles? Drop them for the people real quick.
At Chief Justice 06.
On Twitter, you catch me at BX Boogie Dre. Message me. I'll be able to answer any questions. I'll be free tomorrow after 4 o'clock. Feel free to ask me anything. I'll be able to help you out. MLB and NBA, anything. Just want to talk sports. I'll try to get back to you as soon as possible. As soon as I possibly can. Sorry.
Same deal. At the J Carlucci here on Twitter. It's been a pleasure, fellas. The Bubble Brother Podcast, more known as the Roto Grinders NBA Morning Grind. We had a ton of fun here, keeping it real with everyone, having a lot of fun, trying to be relatable. We hope you enjoyed the end of the regular season here production. And, of course, there'll be a ton of playoff content no matter where the NBA morning grind is, check out rotogrinders.com. So for the Chief, Will Priester, and Dre, Boogie, hell of a run. Good luck in the NBA final in Charlotte. I'm Justin Carlucci. Have a great weekend and good luck.